Director, thank you so much for agreeing to this interview.
It's a pleasure to be here in Canberra.
The new urban agenda was adopted last October, and a blueprint for sustainable developing the world's cities for the next 20 years. It's now 6 months on. How successful was the Habitat 3 conference? And does it give you enough to work with?
I think that it was very successful. It was very well attended. It has been one of the biggest conferences of the United Nations. And the preparatory process, which took place during 3 years, it has engaged more than 150,000 people around the world, which have contributed in different manners, from scientific contributions, stakeholders' opinions, conversations, different modalities of participation. And therefore, I think that the outcome document, which is the new urban agenda, captures very well what has been the evolution of urbanization in the 20 years, and also provides a good frame for the forthcoming decades in order to try to improve the quality of urbanization worldwide.
And have you seen, you said at the conference that it would be useless unless it's implemented. Have you seen sort of concrete positive signs from cities and countries around the world? Like you're visiting Australia, for instance.
Yes, I think that in general there's a new awareness about the risks of bad urbanization or unplanned urbanization, spontaneous urbanization. We are seeing the accumulation of people in not a proper manner, which is presenting quite a number of challenges to social integration, peace and security, human rights, development. For example, we have seen the Arab Spring, that it was an urban revolt that originated around unemployed youth. And that, in general has it's calling the attention to the fact that urbanization cannot be left alone to evolve in a kind of, a spontaneous evolution, because this represents a too strategic risk. And therefore, I'm seeing a lot of countries which are changing their attitude to urbanization and taking a more proactive role in order to to make sure that some design, control, order, the rule of law is applied when we talk about the urbanization process.
So they're starting to think about how they plan human settlements in regards to how human beings will react within them.
Yes. And by the way, there's a basic human right, the right to decent housing, and also just for if we commit to the values of the UN, then trying to get these basic rights to all the population, it's one of our messages and it's one of our commitments. And in that sense, the advocacy and mobilization for such attainments of this basic human right, it's critical.
And we're speaking together from the Pacific region, which is prone to natural disasters and the suffering from the effects of climate change. What is UN Habitat's view on alleviating these challenges? What needs to be done?
Well, climate change has been on the agenda of the United Nations in a very committed manner during the last year, in 2015, and the last 2 years, not the least because we had the fortunate outcome of the COP21 in Paris, and that has been followed by the number of commitments by the main actors in the world in terms of fighting against climate change. And I think that we are in the good track. Of course, from the urbanization point of view, this is especially important because cities are assumed to contribute 70% to the greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, I think that cities and urbanization in itself has a very important role in organizing a successful strategy in trying to diminish the temperature of the planet in the forthcoming years. And in that sense, the new urban agenda of Quito is totally committed to the objectives of the COP21, and it's totally aligned with this effort to increase the use of renewable energy, you know, to move as fast as possible to a decarbonized economy. This is something that it's very dear, very desirable in the implementing of the new urban policies in the forthcoming years.
And the UN Secretary General has set up a panel to assess UN habitat. What's the background to that, and do you welcome the independent review?
Of course, this is a resolution that was adopted in the outcome document of Habitat 3. The member states, they agreed to strengthen UN Habitat, and they proposed the Secretary General to call this panel, and they, after the panel, in August, at the end of August, there's going to be another high-level meeting called by the Secretary General of the Governing Council in order to articulate the findings of the panel through a set of policies and actions by member states to strengthen UN Habitat. I think that this is very convenient, as we are in a moment where a lot of countries, especially least developed countries, are calling on us in order to provide assistance, support, advice, etc., in trying to improve the quality of urbanization.
And on a global level, what, if any, are the issues that arise for human settlements from large migrant and refugee flows? What are the solutions?
Well, the solution, of course, it's improving the quality of urbanization. There's an ample room for improving the quality of urbanization. We are seeing quite a big increase of unplanned urban growth. That should be avoided, of course, and we should move as fast as possible to a well-planned and designed urban growth, which is all of them done under the rule of law, because also another big problem that we are seeing in many parts of the world is lack of urban discipline, corruption, urban corruption, which is one of the typical forms of corruption due to the fact that urbanization generates a lot of money, and therefore there's always the temptation to get entangled in the process. Therefore, there's an ample capacity to improve urbanization. And the good news is that in so doing, in fact, you are increasing the wealth of the country, because good urbanization increases wealth. There's a good reason to invest in urbanization. And the good reason is that urbanization delivers a lot of wealth. Therefore, it's a win-win situation. Invest in good urbanization is investing in the well-being of the citizens and in the wealth of the country. Therefore, there's a very high incentive to spend energy, time, and money in improving urbanization, because the deliverables that it generates are very positive.
And one final question for those listening, will be listening from different cultures around the world. What is your ideal city?
Well, there's no such a thing of an ideal city for everyone. This is the advantage of the city, that the city is adapted to the different cultures of the world. In fact, there are quite some aspects of urbanization or cities that they are similar between cities, but at the end, no city is equal to another one. And that it's the proof of the genuine creativity of the city. The city is the outcome, the collective outcome of the community and its culture. And therefore, the best place is the place that you build, is the place that you contribute to generate, because you build a city with the tools of your own culture. And I think that this is something that it needs to be clearly understood, because if not, there's the risk of this kind of skeptic city, or this kind of city which is a techno city, which is similar everywhere, and which has no personality, no identity, and I think that this is not the interesting city. The interesting city is a city that has character, that has that the place has a meaning, and that you get involved emotionally to it. And I think that well, there are many places where people like to live, and there are many examples here and there of places which where people can develop their own life project in a convenient manner. No? At the same time, unfortunately, there are many places which they are dystopical. They are out of place, out of any linkage with the people. They are, in that sense, artificial, totally artificial. Mm-hmm. And I think that this anonymous city is a hell. Is not a place where it's nice to live.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.